Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are in, we're going to be broadcasting this at the last week of May, if you can believe that.
Yes. Yeah. Good morning. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. And it's fun, you know, what's happening. We'll both, Kathy and I are getting ready. We're heading over with our leaders to France, and that's going to be, we're doing a new retreat that I've been working on all year for intercessory prayer.
Which sounds like it's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
And it's always, you know, the joy that I've had. I actually have had this ever since we started this ministry is he's given me the privilege of time to dig into it. He gave me an understanding of how to do it because for me, it's like, well, just give me the stuff. And it's like, no, I'm going to create a puzzle for you. And particularly, I use the analogy of the jigsaw puzzle, which by the way,
which is not something you love to do, by the way,
Linda loves doing it. And we actually got a table for her to just do jigsaw puzzles, and you sent this cool.
Yeah, I sent her a puzzle board.
This cool board, you know, that's easy to use, and so she does puzzles. And once in a while, you know, I'll come and stand next to her just for 15 minutes, and I kind of look for a unique kind of design piece.
Right.
Yeah, I can find that, you know. So I help her. Hey, I did one. That's enough. You know, I'm out. And God showed me early. Because I was so wanting to get to the what I call the punchline, you know, just enjoy what I'm giving you, relax about it, let these pieces be put on the table. And then when you have all the pieces on the table, I'll then show you how to put it together. And that's how it works for me. And so that's a privilege, and I get to do it. So I've, you know, we now have going on, we have 24 topics that have been taped and are becoming courses, and I've got another five that I've been working on. But this one was particularly fun because it's one of those things where everybody says, you know, intercessory prayer. You should do intercessory prayer. And we kind of say, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I'll pray for somebody else. Yeah, you know, and we do. But God said, here, let me show you what it's really like. So it's amazing what it really is and how, and by the way, even what he does, and that's what surprised me, is that he took me at the beginning, and I didn't understand it until the end. But there's verses that say Christ is an intercessor. It says the Holy Spirit is an intercessor.
Yes.
So.
And when we don't know what to pray, he prays on our behalf, right?
Yeah. So what does that mean? And I didn't really understand it, but having gone through it, it was like, oh my goodness, his activity is intercession. And that means something. You know, and the implication means something. And then we actually join him in that place. That's really fun. It's really fun. So it's going to be a great, great time. We're heading over with our leaders, a lot of our leaders. You know, you and Dan with all you got going, you know, can't go this year. But it's really going to be a great retreat and content that, you know, you'll be able to enjoy. So we're looking forward to that. And then you got your whole family coming and getting ready for wedding and
all kinds of good stuff going on. And actually, as this tapes, I will be in Niagara Falls, which is a bucket list for me. Dan and I are road tripping out there for my birthday, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And you're going to have a great time watching, listening, and observing something that's overwhelmingly magnificent.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard to describe it. You know, you can see, you've seen pictures of it, but mm-hmm. until you're actually there, you can't fathom how amazing this is. So we've been talking about, you know, Christ clutter in the calendar, developing a reshuffling of both our mind and where our mind goes, and also the activity level mm-hmm. of us getting involved in way too many things, which we tend to be weary with. And I've actually was even having a discussion with an executive this morning in some discipling time, and he mentioned to me that he's weary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I feel like I've heard that a lot this year, yeah. And particularly in the last couple months.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I said, I understand. You know, would you, you know, be willing to let God prune you?
Mm-hmm.
And reshuffle things for you so that you don't have to live that way.
Right.
And interesting enough, the only way we do live it is we reject, you know, what God is leading us into. And then, by the way, and I've seen this happen, and if you don't respond,
mm-hmm.
he might create it all by himself by putting you down, what I call putting you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have a break here because you're going to get sick, or you're going to have something
right.
you have to change.
A little wake-up call,
since
right?
You're not willing to do it, I'll do it. But we've talked about, as we're looking at, okay, what does that look like, and what's the cause of it? We first of all said we're either chasing things that God hasn't asked us to chase because we think it's what we have to do. We got to work too much. We got to try to create mm-hmm. too much income. You know, we're chasing a variety of activities that aren't God's. And then when we are in it, like let's say you're in business or you're in a company as an employee, you decide what your plan is. And then mm-hmm. typically it's you want to get it done faster than it's going to be done, too much to do. And, mm-hmm. and you're trying to make happen something that just isn't going to happen. And not only does it frustrate you, but it creates weariness and tired.
Right.
Tiredness.
And trying to do it on your own strength and your own direction, right?
That's right. So as we, you know, look at that, and then the other thing we've talked about is an occupied thought life. You know, one of the things we've talked about is that lately is that we do things and recognize what we did was a mistake, or we made a mistake, mm-hmm. or we took a wrong turn, or we've done something that caused a problem.
Right.
And our mind is occupied with all the things that I did to cause the problem, and I shouldn't have, and I'm trying to change it, but I can't. So we looked at that a little bit last time. Let's look at it a little bit deeper and go to Psalm 6, verses 1 to 10. Psalm 6. 1 to 10.
Sure. And it says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly.
Yeah. When you look at this, you know, this psalm, this is a psalm of, you know, of David. Why is he so troubled?
Because he knows he did wrong here.
Yeah.
I made a mess.
Yeah, I made a mess, and he's really describing the heaviness of burden that comes upon us because of the mm-hmm. life stuff, you know, that first of all, we have trouble. I tried to solve that trouble. And actually what I did is made more of a mess of it. And now I recognize, you know, that I made a mess. So he says, my bones are troubled. In other words, everything about me is is struggling.
And it goes deep.
Yeah, and it's not just, yeah, it's a little problem. This now has captivated him. I'm in trouble. I haven't got out of trouble. I probably made it worse. And I don't know what to do. And I'm deeply troubled. I'm greatly troubled. He says, I'm weary. Interestingly, he says, I'm weary with my complaining. I'm weary with my groaning. At night, I make my bed swim, because he's saying I'm crying. Okay, now think about what he's trying to describe here. Is that all I do is cry? Well, if all you're doing is crying, why?
Because he's really hurting and distressed and worried and anxious, and his mind is filled with all of this.
Yeah, your mind is occupied with this, to where it's so sorrowful that you're weeping. And remember, he could be talking in a sense, even figuratively, that I'm still existing, but my heart and soul is in a sadness of weeping. I'm even tired of me groaning about it. But that's all I can do. There's nothing else I can do with it. I don't know where to go with this. And I kind of know that, you know, that I've been the problem here and created the problem. And then he says, you know, could you receive my prayer? Why? Well, because my mind is completely occupied by this. And I know, and you know, and people we talk to know, that when you get into a mode where something very significant has happened to you or is happening to you, and you can't see any way out of it,
right? And it's all you can think about.
That's all you think about, and you try to go to sleep, and you don't sleep very well, and you get up, and the first thing when you wake up. Is this on, and you know what's going to happen? How's it going to work? What do I do today? How do I fix this? And particularly when you're trying to, and you make it even worse, you know, to go on and on and on. We had a retreat with a small group leader that he was a pretty big church, and we had talked about, you know, in our retreats about, you know, God's gospel, how about now he can fix things. And he came and said, hey, I'd like to go to breakfast or lunch with you. And we did. And he kept describing a problem he had. You know, I said, well, God can handle that, you know. And then he said, well, that's not it. Then I did this and made it worse. You know, God can handle that. Well, then I did this and made it even worse. And so what happened is that he was continuing trying to solve it. And every move he made to solve it actually created a worse scenario.
Yeah, just dug him in deeper, right?
just dug the hole deeper, and the walls are caving in on him. And interesting enough, and we talked about this, is, you know, why is this so significant to you? And he says, it's all I think about. It's so overwhelming to me. It's all I think about. So even if he went out and spent time with his wife or spent time with his kid, his mind is occupied by this thing. And he's not really engaging in the freedom of the relationship. His focus is on the problem.
Yeah, not being able to be present in the moment that God's gifted him with, because he is distracted by this and his mind is cluttered by it, right?
That's right. And the Lord, or the enemy, is working to keep you there, keep you in that that place of occupation. Okay, there's another psalm that describes this a little bit differently. Is go to Psalm 88 and read verses 1 to 10. Psalm 88, 1 to 10.
Sure. It says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called upon you daily. I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah.
Yeah. So again, he's saying that everything is heavy. As far as I'm concerned, it'd be better just to go to death. You know, there's nothing more left for me. And he says that I've done something. And and you have actually caused some of this. He doesn't really understand fully that, you know, where did this put me, and is God the one causing this, or is it just because I've walked away and what I did? But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not getting any help. And interesting enough, by the way, he says, I'm all alone.
Yeah.
Now, this is really interesting, particularly in the Christian church. You can be with a group, but be alone.
Absolutely.
And why? Well, because we don't actually share what's, mm-hmm. what's really going on with us. So that we think that the group acts like they're all doing great.
And so we don't want to say we're not, right? So we put on a face.
particularly if they're going to ask me questions about it. Mm-hmm. Because it could be that I'm going to have to say, yeah, I kind of did something here, or I didn't do something here, or I knew I wasn't following, you know, God. And so I don't want to admit that. So you can be alone even though you're with people because you're not connecting with the authenticity of that.
Right.
And the wonder and the fun of it, that, yeah, it's okay. And of course, we on the other side of it, and I've observed this a lot too, we're not that helpful.
Right.
Because it's like, well, okay, I know you got a problem. I feel sorry for you, and we're going to pray for you. Let's pray over him. And hey, God, would you? But two things. I don't really care a lot. Mm-hmm. I got my own stuff. I don't have time to really engage that with you, and I don't want to take the energy to try to be part of your solution. And by the way, I don't even know what to do either, so I don't engage with you. And then two, we have a tendency to give what I call Christian platitudes. It'll be all mm-hmm. right. It'll be all right. God, all things work together for God. For good, because God does it, you know, and it'll work out, you know, and but then it doesn't, see.
Mm-hmm.
And then people get discouraged. And so they'd say, basically, I don't want to say anything because all you're going to do is tell me these platitudes that I don't want to experience. I've had a couple situations lately where people basically have said, I'm going to share this problem, but I do not want you to tell me it's going to be good.
Mm.
Okay. I'll walk with you if you have a heart to go. By the way, I do know who can make it good.
Right.
And if you'd like to go, I would urge you not to stay where the psalmist is staying,
mm-hmm.
is in the depth of there's nothing I can do here. And it doesn't look like God's going to do anything either.
Right.
Why? Well, because your mind is occupied with trouble. And it varies from, you know, real something that just happened that is awful and it's not your fault and it just is terrible, or it happened and I've been digging my hole deeper and deeper and deeper, but I'm certainly not getting any relief from it. And because of this problem, that's all you think about.
Right.
And
so as you're talking about that, I think it's interesting. You're definitely pointing out the side of the person in the problem and why it is that they come. But I do think there's another side to just highlight. I'm sure we'll get back to this more as we keep going through this. But the person they're coming to, there's an issue there too, and how Christians respond. And it all comes back to, and a lot of times, a margin issue also, that, you know, I don't necessarily want to give you more than a platitude, because if I ask real questions, if I come in, then I am making myself willing and available to jump in and spend something that may take some time from me. And I don't feel like I have the time, therefore I respond in a platitude. And there's this vicious cycle that happens that leaves authenticity at the door.
Right.
Because neither side has margin.
Right.
And neither side is being authentic in all of it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly right. So that's a big, that's kind of a big deal in terms mm-hmm. of why we wind up with occupied minds of stuff, because we don't know what to do with it, but people around us don't know what to do with it either.
Right.
And so we kind of play the game. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. But you're dying inside, you know, and then you don't know what to do with that, and you're trying to solve it yourself. So we've talked about the heaviness of it. Another one is real sin does separate us. So let's look at that. John 8, 34 to 35. John 8, 34 to 35.
Sure. Okay. It says, "And Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever.'"
Yeah. So he says that, and remember, he's trying to help us understand sin for what it really is. So we would characterize sin primarily as doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we did something wrong and we sinned. God says, actually, sin is way simpler than that.
Mm-hmm.
And think of his definition is sin is not being with me. So you can be a very good person. You actually cannot do, quote, anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Other than you walked away and decided on your own what you were going to go do.
Right. You decided to be God instead of him, right?
And he says, when you see, he says, when you cross that line,
mm-hmm.
and think of sin, the way I picture it, to keep reminding myself to where he wants me to be, is I walk out of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I, instead of following God's will as the king, I follow riches' will, and I walked out of the kingdom back into the world where I'm not protected.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when you do that, you become a slave to it.
Right.
Okay, now think about what that means, is that a slave is somebody that follows completely something else, somebody else, mm-hmm. something else. He says, when you cross over that line, you've separated yourself from me. Now you're a slave to it, and a slave is captivated by the things that master is doing. So that he says, your mind will get occupied now. Because you're not even discussing with me at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're out trying to figure this all out yourself, and your mind is occupied because you become a slave to it.
Right, right.
And
it's
go ahead.
Interesting as you say that. I'm reminded of I was in Amos 3 the other day. Totally random that you know you end up there sometimes, but. Amos 3:10 says, "For they do not know to do right, says the Lord." And it goes on, it's talking about the Israelites. But as you look into that whole passage and what's going on in there, it says, you know, they do not know to do right. They have actually strayed so far from God for so long that they don't even recognize what they're doing anymore.
Right.
And I think often that's exactly what you're describing. we don't even know we're walking in sin because we are so used to just making these decisions ourselves and just acting as quickly and on our logic and on our knowledge. And what do I know to do? What do I know to do? And we get in this cycle and we've done it so long like this that we wouldn't even say that's sin.
Yep.
And so that's where even when you're looking at this verse, if that's something that's pricking your heart, I would say there's a question just in your prayer time with God to tee up, you know, God, examine my heart. Show me what I don't even see that is sin in it. Show me where I'm walking in my own in self and not in full surrender to you, and extract that from me. You know, take it away, highlight it to me, and then walk me into it. Because a lot of times we truly are blind to the sin in our lives because we're so used to it and so comfortable with it, even if it's a big pit.
Right. All right. And then Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquity have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So that our mind is going to wind up being occupied, because the truth of it is when we've walked away, it says that the Lord now is in a position where you have separated yourself from the ability for God to resolve this, to listen, to process with you. And he said, so your mind will automatically go to you trying to figure this thing out on your own, because you spiritually have been separated.
Right.
And remember, it's not because you're permanently separated. If you're a believer, you're going to be with him in eternity. That's for sure. This is talking currently, that if you've walked away from him in the kingdom, you're the one that's separated, and now you don't have the possibility of resolution. And because of that, you say, I got to figure this out.
Right, right.
And what does you do? Your mind goes to it. So sin can contribute to you having even more occupation of your mind because you don't, you know, listen and follow. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of that. We thank you for the beauty of this truth, that we would understand that our minds can't get really occupied. We can focus on the problem. We can focus on our contribution to the problem. We might even, because of our sin, which is just walking away and trying to figure it out ourselves, contribute to it even getting worse. And so we just pray that we'll understand it as you teach us then to go the other direction and to start having freedom in our mind and freedom in our actions. And so we just pray for clarity and wisdom about that as we continue. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great day.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace to the world of chaos.